in attendance. And for Youth Sunday, and I remember I had to teach, also had to teach the senior adult Sunday school class and senior adult guys. And so that had every deacon that ever was born at the Southern Baptist Church there in my Sunday school class. But I digress. Anyway, though, standing in the nook of the piano during the invitation, I would stand, the music minister would come and stand by the piano, and the pastor would talk during the invitation. So the music minister would do his 15 stanzas of Just As I Am. And what I didn't realize was that grand piano had a broken leg on it that held the lid up, and it was held up by a broomstick handle. So I laid my hand on the lid of the grand piano, just ever so gently like this, and the grand piano lid came down on my thumb in the middle of the invitation. And if you've ever slammed a grand piano lid, it hits every chord possible in the piano. And as a senior in high school, I was so fortunate that God guarded my mouth at that point. Anyways, it wasn't, I turned special music into a special nightmare for my pastor. Anyways, now, why did I tell you that story? So I could catch my breath and get ready. All right, so I was reading a story about a man who called his doctor. He said to the doctor, he said, look, my wife is having some hearing problems, and I don't know what to do. He says, well, try this. He said, you know, say things from different areas of the house and see how she responds and let me know. So she's standing in the kitchen making dinner, and he stands at one end of the kitchen, and he says, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. So he stands finally in the middle of the kitchen, he says, honey, what's for dinner? Still no response. So finally he gets up next to her. He says, honey, what's for dinner? She says, I told you 3 times it's hamburger. Amen. Well, we made it through another year, almost. We have 3 days left, and if you blow up between now and Tuesday, that's your own fault. You've done pretty well up till now. So we get a chance at the new year. I love the name New Year because it means we get to start all anew. I love the new car smell. I love it when I get something new. I'm the guy who likes to break the DVD seal on the DVD. I like the smell of the brand new plastic when you open it up. I like new things. And so what I don't like is the old and dingy. And so we've had a whole year to be old and dingy, and now we get this chance to be new. And so at 12 o'clock on Tuesday night, you're going to ring in the new year. You're going to say cheerio and all that stuff, and you're going to drink your Martinellis. You're going to kiss your girlfriend or your wife or your boyfriend or your husband or your cat or your dog, whatever your pleasure is, I guess. And so we look at how we end 2019 and we start all over again in 2020. And so tonight, as we do this, I want to look at our priorities a little bit. And so if I were to ask you tonight, what's your number one priority? You would probably, because we're sitting in church, you would say God. Because that's what we do. We have a tendency to lean toward the Sunday school answers when we're asked that question. And so if we're going to be honest, right, if we're going to use God as our number one answer, then we need to have God as the number one piece of evidence in our life. So you can't say one thing and do something else. So if you're going to make number one a priority of God, then you need to make God a priority more than just Sunday nights or Sundays or whatever. You need to, when we experience problems, we go to God. We know that God is the answer to our problems. So we know everything good comes from God. We know this. And so there was a survey done by Barna and talking about resolutions that people made. And these are 1,000 people they ask, and this is the percentages, okay? The percentages are this way. 66% they say they want to improve their physical fitness, so they want to exercise more. Okay, 57 said they want to improve their financial situation, which, you know, obviously they want to save money. 52% they want to improve their health or go on a diet. And then 46 said they want to lose weight, not just get healthy, but they want to lose weight. That's the big thing. 29% said they want to become more educated. 29% also said they want to read more. 29% said they want to improve their work habits. 28% of people said they wanted to travel more. 23% they said they wanted to do more volunteer work. And then 23% said they wanted to change their overall attitude to positive, right? And 22% said they wanted to improve their relationship with their friends. And then finally, 22% said they wanted a job change or career change, okay? And so we look at this, and we look at this list, and we notice that number one is not God in this list. And before you start thinking, well, you know, whatever, the Barna group who does these surveys, they typically focus on Christian groups, Christian answers. And so they reported that 1 out of 7, 15% of adults place their faith in God as a priority. 1 out of 7. Now, if you were to ask just strictly Christians, okay, people who are saying they are followers of Christ, and they get that narrow, it's 1 in 4. All right? But still, that's only 25%. Okay? So the survey says that God is not at the top of the priority list for most people. And they're focused on the here and now rather than focusing on God. We focus on what we're doing and how we're getting there and what we're living in. And we do all those things. We focus there, but we don't focus our attention on God. And I want you to hear me say something. It's not that I don't want you as a person to improve yourself better. We could all stand to shed a few pounds or be a little more trim or exercise more or do all those things. We could do those things. But the best way to improve all of those areas in our life is to give our lives to Jesus Christ, number one. Okay? If we focus on our spiritual life with God, all those other things will fall into place because He will help you prioritize those. God wants to be a part of every aspect of our life. When we go to the gym, God wants to be in that decision you make to which gym you go to. There are gyms that are strictly meat markets, and I know this. Okay, I haven't been to a lot of gyms, you won't see me there, but the guys go there to pick up girls, and girls go there to pick up guys, and they dress inappropriately, and they, you know, all that stuff, so we know that this happens. And so what happens is we need to focus on the giver rather than the gifts. Okay, God gave you life. Don't focus so much on your life that you take your focus off of God. One of my prayers this year is that we will begin in our lives to be a light, and we will shine our light in our nation and in our city, and everybody who comes across us will see Jesus in our life. And I also want us to give thanks to God. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says in your notes, I don't have PowerPoint together this week, so you're going to have to follow your notes. But the good thing is I put a sheet of notes together, and so did Sharon, so we've got two different notes to follow. So if you get lost on one, go to the other one. They're identical. And so 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So you need to put God first and do everything in His name. In the name of Jesus, we do this. And I want to give us some little prescriptions. One of the things I like about prescriptions is if you do them and you follow them correctly, it should fix your problem. So I'm going to give you a prescription tonight with three elements. Okay? And the first priority that we need to have in 2020 is you need to study God's Word. We need to study God's Word. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, now the Bereans were more noble than in character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said is true. And so what happened, and remember at this point, Paul and Silas were on their missionary journey, and they were sent to Berea. And you have to understand that Paul and Silas had just left Thessalonica, where the city was in turmoil over what Paul and Silas was teaching. The city was all upset because Paul and Silas were teaching about everything they had to do had to be focused on God. And what they've done in that city was bring trouble upon themselves. And so Paul and Silas were teaching them there. And so he makes it to Berea. And instead of Berea hurling insults at them like the Thessalonians did, okay, they actually filled them with encouragement. Okay? They searched the scriptures, not just on Sunday morning. They did it every day. And they did it with eagerness. What he says about them is they were more noble in character than the Thessalonians were. Because they received the message with eagerness. You ever been so excited about a gift that you use it every day? I remember when I was a kid, I had a toy that I got, and I just played with it every day. I was so excited to have it, I played with it every day. Eventually, it got old, and I quit playing with it, right? It's like, you know, when you get that Nordic track, you're excited about 2 days, and then it becomes a clothing rack, right? What happens is the Bible is filled with many great and exciting truths, and you and I have to look every day in our lives at what these truths are. We have to look every day, not just on Sunday, all right? We have to draw closer to Christ, and in order to do that, when we do that, we will understand more and more about Christ. When you draw close to somebody, you begin to understand who they are, and what a better way, there's not a better way to get to know God than to get to know His Scripture, all right? So what happens is, God describes it as a marriage relationship. We focus on that spouse. So we focus on Christ. And so there's a lot of things that the scripture says about marriage. And there's a lot of things that the politicians have been saying about marriage over the last decade that just drives me crazy. The reality is the book is written on marriage. It's the Bible. You follow that and you'll see exactly what God says about getting married, right? And the little boy in Sunday school was asked about, well, what does God say about marriage? That's a tough question. The little boy says, I remember, Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Listen, the Bible is our sword. And we are to rightly divide God's word. Right? And that sword is there. It's a tool to help us draw closer to Him. We need to examine the Bible. Don't just take my word for it. I have quoted things wrong in the past, and my wife has pointed them out to me when I get home. I wonder how many of you have actually pointed them out to me or actually said, oh, that was wrong. Susie looks at me. She scratches her head around that. I can tell she's thinking. Right? And so the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You wouldn't give your kid a knife without teaching them how to use it. God doesn't give us this sword of truth without telling us how to use it. The King James Version actually says, study to show thyself approved, a workman. And he uses the word shoe, but we know what he means. Study to show thyself a workman who need not be ashamed. Listen, one of the things we can do is get involved in God's word. In redemption, we have really two opportunities for you to get involved, right? We have this time where you can come and listen to the pastor preach or somebody share a testimony, or you can take part in worship. And then we have a Bible study that we do once a week, right? There's an opportunity for you to have children have Sunday school in the evening that they go to from 3:45 to 4:45 or so. It's so they can learn how to use God's word properly. And you're supposed to use God's word and plug into a community of faith, a community of Christ followers. And you no better way to do that than in Bible study. Because listen, when you're in a church, no matter what size it is, it's very uncomfortable for you to ask questions of the pastor during the message. So that's a good time to do that, is when you have a time to sit down and divide God's word. And David Livingston was a missionary, and he was asked the question, where are you prepared to go? This was his answer. I am prepared to go anywhere as long as it's forward. How many of us go backwards? It's one thing I worried about when we switched to Sunday night. I don't want to go backwards, right? I don't want to go backwards. I want to move forward. This could be a step forward for us. And so I think we need to be encouraged to go forward in the new year. See what's next for us. How do we make this a place where community happens and Christ people, Christ is known in our lives, right? You and I should place a priority on studying God's word. And the second thing that we should do is place a priority on sharing God's word. The great evangelist Dwight Moody was criticized for his evangelistic methods. And this was his response. He says, "I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." Don't criticize somebody about their way they evangelize if you're not going to get off your tuchus and do some evangelism. That's right, I said tuchus. All right? Most of us don't do it. We do very little when it comes to reaching people for Christ. And I went to Fred Meyer this afternoon, okay? There's a lot of grumpy-looking folks at Fred Meyer at 2 in the afternoon. Really. I'm trying to be pleasant, and people think I'm up to something, you know? And it's amazing for us. We develop less and less passion for people and compassion for people when we start focusing on our own lives. I see people in stores doing everything they need to do themselves. I don't see them reaching out to other people. Costco parking lot is another one where I doubt my salvation sometimes when I'm in there. I think, man, I just want to smack that guy. He just took my spot. You know, so we get focused on us and we forget that we're supposed to be focusing on who? Others. We're supposed to be focused on our neighbors. The truth is we miss it. So I want us to be people who develop this initiative to be honest and intentional about reaching out. Because you can't fake compassion. It doesn't work. You can't fake compassion. And it's a commandment given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. He says, and Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I want you to notice there that it doesn't say, "Pastors, I want you to go and do this." It doesn't say, "Missionaries, I want you to go and do this. Sunday school teachers, I want you." It says, "You go." Everyone is called to go. The Great Commission is something that we're all supposed to be committed to. Not just the people who get paid to do the job or people who volunteer on Sunday, okay? We have to teach, we have to witness, we have to share, we have to love people, we have to invite people to one of the greatest relationships they could ever have with Jesus Christ. That is the best relationship you'll ever have. Listen, every human relationship that I've ever been involved with, including my wife, is flawed at some point. But my particular relationship with Jesus Christ is flawless. He makes us flawless through His grace, right? And one of the things that I, as a person, if you know me at all, you know I don't like to be touchy-feely, and I don't like that. I kind of find feet on the yucky side. I think that feet are not attractive. I will not preach in flip-flops. I will not lead worship in sandals. And if I wear sandals, I typically wear socks because I don't want you to see my feet. All right? I think the feet are yucky. Now, before I get off on this tangent about feet, I want to tell you a little something about what God says about feet. All right? Romans 10:14 says, "How can they call the one who they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." I will say to you that all believers are called to bring the good news. And your feet are beautiful. Pastor Dan's opinion aside. Paul and the early Christians spread the message despite persecution, even death. We should be eager to share salvation because we're not going to be persecuted to death here in the States. That doesn't happen to us. There's a few people who it's happened to when they said they were Christians, they've gotten shot or bludgeoned to death or something has happened to them. But that's a small minority, minute minority. You have almost a nil chance of that happening in your life. So I want to have a little audience participation for a moment. I tried to get you to clap a little bit earlier. I even did this with my microphone. So I know audience participation is a little low right now. It could be that you're tired. Could be that you're just not a clapper. And I get that, right? So I would like you to tell me right now. Do you and are you excited about having Christ in your life? Now see, actions speak louder than words, right? So I will tell you that a few years ago, Ron Hartman took me to my first Winterhawks game. Now, it's probably the second hockey game I've ever been to in my life. Didn't understand a thing about it. Winterhawks were down like, they had zero, and they were down by three, right? And then like in the third quarter, the quarters or periods, I don't know, anyway, it didn't matter. They had like this three hat trick rally thing, you know, that's a hat trick. Same guy makes a three, everybody throws a hat in the ring, I don't know. Anyways, everybody gives up their hat. Now listen, I don't throw my hat anywhere because, first of all, I paid $15 for it, I'm not going to give it up. But people are tossing their hat. Why? Because they're so excited about this thing called a hat trick. I didn't know what a hat trick was. But apparently it's when the same guy gets 3 points in a game, it's called a hat trick, and everybody throws their hat in the ice rink, right? And they're all super excited, and everybody starts to... Now they're sitting on the edge of their seat, and every time the puck gets into the Winterhawks, they all go, ooh, and they all scoot to the edge of their seat, and they get louder and louder and louder. Pretty soon, I can't hear anything that's going on, because I got... Ron was kind of funny. You know, older guy, he'd sit there and go, yeah! That's about all he'd... You know Ron. Remember Ron. He didn't show very much excitement, but he'd get excited at a hockey game. And I got to tell you, by the end of the game, I was a Winterhawks fan. You know what I mean? And so what I found myself doing, you know, fast forward a couple years, now I'm going to the game, you know, once or twice a season, and I go excited, I want to get a jersey, I want to be a part of the rally bunch, you know, and I want the camera to come on me so I can kiss Ron at the kiss cam, you know, all that stuff. I'm getting all excited. And so now, when I said to you earlier, are you excited about your relationship with the Lord? I've seen more excitement in a Winterhawks game over the hat trick than I saw tonight. Now, let me ask you, are you excited about being a Christian? Yes. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. You see, there's my point. We get excited. We get excited in our life, and we get vocal when we're excited. But so many times we don't get vocal about Christ. And it's one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to us. And we should study God's word because we need to continually examine ourselves to see where we are. And so tonight, if you're saying, well, I didn't get where you're going with that, but now if you were to ask me now, of course I'll be excited because that's what we do. That should be the forefront of our mind when somebody says, are you saved? Let me tell you how. 9 ways to Sunday, I'll tell you why. Is that a phrase? Something like that? You know, I don't know. I make things up. Anyways, so we're supposed to be excited. So we study God's word. We come together. We study God's word. We come together. We learn. And one of the greatest things I love to hear is when somebody says, I've been going to church all my life, but I've never studied the Bible like I've studied in your Bible study. Faith has had that say to her many times. I think that's awesome to me. I think it's exciting when somebody's challenged beyond themselves. And they may not, maybe because they're not readers. They don't like to read. And there are people who generally don't like to. I don't like to read. My dad tries to get me to read Louis L'Amour and all the cowboy things. I don't do that. Okay? But I love to study God's word. I'm excited about how to be in minister books. I like those things. But we need to get excited about studying God's word. Find yourself getting lost. Have you ever been watching a movie and think, oh, I didn't realize how long I've been watching this because you're so riveted by what's going on. I was in college watching the O.J. Simpson chase down the freeway in California. Before I knew it, I spent like 4 hours in my living room watching this blazer go back and forth in Hollywood and every. That's how we should be with Christ. We should lose ourselves, lose our time because we're so wrapped up in Christ. Thirdly, we need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, 13:5 says, we'll find these words. It says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? You're supposed to examine yourself. So funny, when we take an examination, we always look at how everybody else did over how we did. We just want to get better than them. You ever felt that way? My kids all did it when they were going for their drivers. They always scale it by what the last kid did. Kids do it all the time, right? Well, I got higher than Daniel. Jagger last year, or Garrett last year. I got higher than Trevor. He's always, like, everyone wants to get higher than anything. Look, and the reality is, we become critical of other people because it makes us feel better, I think. And that's not what the Bible says we're to do. It says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. Test yourself. See, the Corinthians, they had it in for Paul. They were wanting to hang him high. So Paul brought this very thing to the Christian faith. He would say, examine yourself. Take a look at yourself. When I was in school, I would occasionally come to class and they would give me a pop quiz. Everybody loved pop quizzes. So the teacher would give us a pop quiz and maybe 10 questions. Then we would have the opportunity to pass the test to the person on your right, and they would grade it as she would read the answers. Now, here's what that does. First of all, the person on your right realizes how stupid you truly are. They say, man, I didn't get that one wrong. You didn't even spell your name right, whatever. I was amazed one time when this teacher actually said, I want you to hold on to your own quiz, and we're going to let you grade your own quiz. Ingenious idea. Here's why. You're not comparing yourself to anybody else. You're comparing yourself to how much you know. And that's what God tells us to do in His Scripture. We're supposed to compare ourselves to nobody but us. Are you better today than you were yesterday at sharing God's Word? That's what we're to ask ourselves. Am I better today at doing this than I was yesterday? And then I'm supposed to get better. And if I'm not, if I didn't do well on that quiz, I could say, well, I really got to work on this. I got to work on this. I got to work on this. I had a lot of things I had to work on in school, right? So have you ever heard the term soul searching? Do a lot of soul searching? Well, we're going to do that this morning or this evening. We're going to look inside our lives. And I want you to take this little four-question quiz at the bottom of your paper, okay? First question is, when's the last time you prayed and you didn't need something? Or you weren't in trouble? When's the last time you just prayed to talk to God? Second question. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody who is not a Christian? It's easy to share your life about Jesus with other Christians. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody who's not a Christian? Thirdly, when's the last time you sat down and meditated on a passage of Scripture? Now, before you get all weird, meditation is simply thinking about something over and over and over again. That's what meditation is. When's the last time you sat down and thought about Scripture that way? And then lastly, when's the last time you sacrificially gave without expecting something in return? Those four questions. When's the last time you sacrificially gave without expecting something in return? How do you do on that quiz right there? Answer that to yourselves now. Did you pass with flying colors? Or do you still have work to do? I did not pass with flying colors. And here's the deal. It's not measurable by somebody else. Right? You can't compare yourself to me or to, you know, to Danny or Sharon. You can't compare yourself to each other. You got to compare yourself with you. Examining ourselves can be hard to do, but we have to do it. It helps us to see things that need to be changed. And don't be afraid to chart yourself. I have a hate-hate relationship with scales. Okay? I got this new scale last year. My doctor told me I had to get a new scale because my other one... Anyways, what this does is it syncs with my phone, and so it charts my weight. So it tells me how I'm doing. I could show you my progression of weight. Now, why would I do that? Not why would I show you, but why would I chart that? So I can see how I'm doing. You need to chart what you're doing. The reason doctors chart is so they can compare your past with your future. The reason teachers keep a grade book is so they can see how you did in the first semester and how you did in the last semester. And when they write your report card at the end of the year, they say, Dan needs more improvement in this area. Where do you need more improvement in? Right? Do others see Jesus in your life? In 2019, it's gone. Chances are some of you aren't even going back to work this year because you have off until the new year. So that's done. Let's just pretend you're not going back to work until the first of the year. So you have a new start on the first or the second because we have the first off. So you have a new start on the second. What are you going to do differently? Maybe you don't know how to share Christ. If you don't know how to share Christ, write on a communication card to me and stick it in that box. So I read every communication card that comes in. Say, look, I want to know an easier tool. And I can teach a class, sharing Christ for dummies if we need to, or we can do the four spiritual laws. We can do whatever your level of, wherever you're at, you need to go to the next level. Wherever I'm at, I need to go to the next level. Share God's word this year. Be excited that Jesus Christ is living in you. Because when people leave that Winter Hawks game and they've won, there's an excitement. Right? And there's an excitement knowing that Jesus Christ wins. You know what I mean? No matter what you're going through, how sick you may have been this week or how sick you're going to be in the next couple of weeks, or no matter what you go through this season, you've lost somebody or you don't have somebody you used to have, or maybe your dog bit you in the leg and they don't like you anymore. I don't know what you're going through. Listen, it's for a season. That's going to pass. What are you going to do after that? And so when you examine yourself, we have to be willing to make the change. It doesn't do me any good to chart my weight if I'm not, or chart my weight if I'm not going to do anything about the numbers. It's not going to do any good for you to examine yourself if you're not going to do anything with the numbers. We have to examine ourselves, and then we have to actually do something about it. Because that's how we move to the next level. I get excited when my kids learn something new. I showed Daniel how to replace his rotors on the brakes in his car. I remember when the first time he did his brakes, I was so excited. I wasn't so excited about rotors, but we had to do it. So we get in there, and I stood over his shoulder. I taught him how to do it. Now he knows how to do rotors. I'm so excited. I don't ever have to do his rotors ever again. Matter of fact, when Trevor needs to get them done, I'm going to tell Daniel to go teach Trevor how to do it. He maybe knows how to do it already. I don't know. But listen, and then when Becca, because she's a girl, not that I'm a sexist, but because she's a girl, she won't want to touch her brakes. She'll say, Daniel, would you come and do my brakes? Yes, he can do it. Why? Because I succeeded in doing my job as a dad to teach him how to do those things. So now I can move on to the next thing. Now I got to teach him how to be a dad. Hopefully they'll bring me wonderful grandchildren that I'll be able to love on and send them home spoiled. You know what I mean? That's what I want in life. I want to be able to pass what I know on to my kids so that they can pass it on to somebody else. So what I want as a pastor, I want to pass what I know on to you guys so you can pass it on to people you know so you can be stronger in Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what I want to hear. See, you guys, you almost got it. Let's go to a word in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you brought us here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We pray that as we end this service tonight, as we close with this song,
Father, that we would focus our attention on you and how we can be better at serving you and loving you more. Lord, I just pray for our church as we move forward. I pray that we would be the missionaries we're called to be here. Father, that we would be able to witness to those in our lives on a daily basis. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.